content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How you doing, Junior?
Freezing.
Freezing,
what's
I know.
Going on?
Yeah, I know. It's super cold, and I always think of the animals when
yes.
the temperature drops or gets, you know, too high, too. But, yeah, so everybody out there listening, I'm sure it's, you know, it's cooler in California, too. But here in Dallas, we're getting I guess it's going to last a week, right, this cold snap?
Yeah, at least a few days, it's saying. But, you know, I think it's still going to be cold, but it's always Texas. You never know, you know?
Yeah, you never know. Oh my gosh! Yeah, the guy that I have, this great painter that his name is Juan. He just does the best work, and I don't see him out there this morning. I'm getting my front fence repainted.
Oh, okay.
It's too cold for Juan.
Yeah, I would say so. Even like today, I went to go let my dog out this morning. I was just gonna open up the back door. Literally the door opened and the breeze came in and she just looked at me and ran right back into the room.
Oh,
she was like, nope, not going.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, Pretzel tried that on me, but Pretzel always tries that. I'm like, no, dude, you're going out. You're not peeing in the house. Get your butt out. But yeah, but you know, you do have to keep an eye on them, and yeah, they're all happy to be inside. You know, I have so many that when I'm not down there with them, they have to be in cages. Otherwise, God only knows what would happen.
Oh, but I could imagine.
But it's just too many to have them running all over the place. But I'm excited about today's show. I really am. I've got Laura Day at the half, Turning Crisis into Positive Change. She is the author of an amazing book that I've been reading, Welcome to Your Crisis, How to Use the Power of Crisis to Create the Life You Want. It is an excellent book. I encourage everyone out there to get a copy. I'm not kidding you. You know, it's a great book. It's going to be one of my go-to books to give as a gift, because we're all going through crises. You know, we don't even really think of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I did her little survey, it says, are you going through a crisis? Half of my questions said yes and no. Not that I'm going. You just have to see when we get around. I'll talk more about it.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah, but it's really, really a good book. So can't wait to talk with her. And I always love talking to Jared Ramirez. He's on the line, I'm guessing. Jared, are you there?
I sure am.
Good to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, you know, I always love talking to you because I love talking about science and I love talking about health and the gut microbiome. And Jared Ramirez is the perfect person to do that with. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and he's also a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007. And I think that's probably when I found it, too, actually. But inspired by nature and ancestral health, they make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. You can visit them at enviromedica.com, and that starts with an E, not an I, because a lot of times people will tell me, oh, I thought it was Enviromedica, but it's environment, enviromedica.com. So Jared, I love what we're talking about today. We're going to talk dirty, you guys. We're digging up dirt about over-sanitization, soil, and soil-based microbes. So our world is truly really becoming so over-sanitized. It was a problem even before COVID, if everybody remembers. And now here we are in this over-sanitized world more than ever before. So how damaging is the recent overemphasis on cleanliness?
That's a good question. And the honest answer is we probably won't know for some time, right? Mm-hmm. I think we can glean some insight, though, based on the existing body of knowledge that's out there. And, you know, the kind of setting the stage for this is that, you know, human beings co-evolved with microorganisms and an exposure to bacteria and viruses and allergens. And, you know, this is what, you know, this is how we developed. You know, the kind of modern industrialized, you know, societies that we see today are still, you know, largely an evolutionary blip, you know, in our history. You know, so there's tens of thousands of years of coevolution with these with microbes and you know, being dirty effectively. So you know, it's really anybody's guess how damaging that will end up being long term, but I think there's some very strong indications of what that means for us now.
Well, yeah, and you said allergens. So I recently had I'm still going through it, just a real fight on my hands with, I think it was the cedar and the pollen. Maybe I was near the poison ivy that dried up and inhaled maybe even some of that. I don't know, but I've been having a heck of a time, and I've been continuing to take my Terra Flora, and it has helped tremendously. But that with, I do all my, you know, my whole routine with my supplements. Like, I know you do too. A lot of people out there listening do, but you said something when you said allergens. Can probiotics help with allergy attacks and things like that? If a person is more susceptible to allergens, does the microbiome help fight that too?
It can, absolutely. I mean, there's some good research that's out there that supports that that approach. You know, the microbiome plays into the immune system. Right. And so, you know, an allergenic response by the body, you know, for instance, and I'll use my wife and I as an example. You know, we're up here in Austin, and, you know, when the cedar pollen starts ripping, I mean, you could, you know, draw pictures in the hood of your car. It's so thick. Right.
Oh, wow.
And
mm-hmm.
and it destroys her. But I don't even realize there's, you know, a cedar pollen issue. Right. So, you know, the question is why are we different, you know? And, you know, there's different theories behind that, but, you know, inflammation and our body's response to it is a big factor in that. So, yes, the gut microbiome does play into a role, but it's not I think there's more happening there. There are certain probiotics out there that do have clinical research that show, you know, a down regulation of the immune response to allergens. So in effect, yes, that's true.
Well, and there was another article this week in the Epoch Times, and I have it here in front of me, about a healthy microbiome builds a strong immune system. Research reveals beneficial bacteria living inside of us could be the one key to fighting COVID-19 as well. Interesting science, so much to know, so much to learn. But, you know, so let's talk about dirt. Let's go back to the dirt. So sometimes.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there's kind of two questions there. Like, are we over-sanitizing and do we need to be dirty? I think those are two kind of, you know, independent questions. I don't, I think that, you know, exposure to dirt and soils, healthy soils, it does have a positive effect on the immune system. You know, again, going back to our co-evolution along with microorganisms and exposure to the environment, the natural environment, you know, I kind of go and look at what would hunter-gatherer societies be exposed to. When environmental microbes are a big part of that, you know, they'd be exposed on fruits and vegetables and starchy root vegetables and just being outside. You know, just being outside in nature exposes you to microbes, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think it's getting dirty is kind of a nice, way to catch some headlines with it, but it's more than just about, rolling in the dirt, so to speak. And especially, once you're an adult, I think that, there's kind of question marks around whether the immune system has developed fully or not, or if this was already set early in life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Speaking of early in life, I mean, that's when the gut microbiome, well, that's when your microbiome begins, is going through the birth canal, picking up, all those microbes and from your mother, and then breastfeeding. I mean, we've talked about this many times over the past couple of years, but that's where it starts. I was reading another interesting article about that yesterday. I don't remember right now what it said, but it's nice to have the awareness, because we never really had the awareness 20 years ago like we do now, right? We had no idea how important our microbiome is.
Well, sure. And, most of the, there was this previous, thought that, say, for instance, the lungs were a microbiome-free environment. It was more sterile there, or the eyes, or the, basically anywhere in the human body, right? And that's all been proven untrue at this point. And
right.
Each of these areas in the body, everything has its own unique microbiome fingerprint, as it is, and there, it's not the same throughout the body. So, for instance, your lung, the microbiome that exists in your lungs is different than that which exists on your skin, or is different than that which exists in your gut, or even your eyes. I think we discussed previously the ocular microbiome. That's a thing, right? And they're all very independent, unique signatures, right? And those fingerprints, what represents a healthy microbiome in each of those areas, is very different. So it's there's what we're basically talking about is the kind of the hygiene hypothesis, right? And it's
mm-hmm.
It's the theory that suggests that a young child's environment can be too clean to effectively stimulate or challenge the child's immune system, and effectively what is the normal development of the immune system over time.
Yeah, I know. When we were kids, oh my gosh, I can remember, well, not when I was crawling in the dirt, but I can remember like just playing outside and getting all dirty and just like really being dirty, like Pigpen, and in a Charlie Brown character, seriously coming in that dirty, and my mother saying, wow, you need to take a bath, but that's good for kids, isn't it?
It can be, yes. And again, I think that, there's kind of two sides to this, right? The word dirt is a very kind of ambiguous term. Like, what does that mean exactly? So I think, I've had questions before from parents saying, oh, well, should I just let my child go outside and eat dirt? Well, not really, right? It depends on the environment that you're in. If you're in a very industrialized area, that dirt is probably going to have very aggressive pathogens in it, right? So I think that, it's not something that you can just blanket and say, well, your kids should go out and eat dirt or mess around in the dirt and put it in their mouth and things like that. So, healthy soils, healthy productive soils are a different thing. If you have an organic garden, that soil is going to be different than, say, the dirt that you find on the side of the road.
Right.
And kind of to your point, there was an interesting study that was done some years ago that showed, so they were looking at microbial diversity in soils on farms, and basically showed that the higher the microbial diversity in the soil, the lower the incidence of allergies and asthma there were with children that were exposed to those soils. So it's about the quality of what you're being exposed to also.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, there's one I can't wait to talk to you about, rewilding. I was reading an article about rewilding your gut. And so we're going to go for a quick break, and I can't wait to talk about it. Everyone, with Jared Ramirez, you're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back.
So good. You to me.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Jared Ramirez. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Okay, so Jared Ramirez, if you're just now joining us, is a CEO of Enviromedica, makers of TerraFlora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. You can visit them at Enviromedica.com. And Jared, it's always such a treat to have you on the show. It really is. I love talking about this stuff. I always have. And I heard recently someone talking about rewilding your gut. So what does that mean? Do you know? And is it something that we need to do after a year of over-sanitization?
Sure. So rewilding is a... Again, it's a term that's kind of been floated around the gut health space for a while. I want to say that Jeff Leach, who's kind of a prominent researcher in the field, kind of hatched that initially. So I want to give credit to where credit's due. But So he lived and worked with the Hadza, which is a hunter-gatherer tribe in Africa. And effectively, it's, you know, his opinion, and I share the same opinion, of course, is that, you know, the kind of modern industrialized Western microbiome is a ecological disaster zone, right?
Oh, wow.
It lacks biodiversity, and it lacks the diversity seen in healthy populations that are not in these kind of modern industrialized constructs. And so, you know, how, you know, rewilding is can mean a number of things, but it effectively means that you're increasing the richness, the robustness, and the diversity of your gut microflora at large, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you accomplish that?
Yeah.
It's through eating a diverse, species-appropriate diet, you know, rich in an array of foods, you know, not consuming ultra-processed foods, which tend to create kind of these, you know, monochromatic, less diverse gut microbiomes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also a kind of what's, you know, referred to as kind of this core ancestral microbiome. And I don't want to flood your listeners with a bunch of, you know, scientific, you know, bacterial names, but there are these kind of core microbiome constituents, these microbes that are present in hunter-gatherer populations in healthy guts, right?
Yeah.
And so on the contrasting side, you know, with a Western diet, you know, a kind of a typical Western diet, these microbes and the diversity are largely suppressed, and that's, you know, that's what, you know, what is known to be correlated with poor health outcomes and disease states and mm-hmm. inflammatory conditions and pretty much everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, they're tying it to, you know, cognitive disorders and diseases, degenerative conditions, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating with the science. You know, we've talked about this many times too. I mean, they've even linked schizophrenia to your microbiome, you know, mental illness. I mean, you said it earlier, you know, there's different microbiomes for your eyes and your lungs and your brain and your, you know, it's just, it's fascinating science. It really is. And who would have known? Like, who would have thought? Junior, are you kind of a germaphobe at all? Or do you pay attention? Do you ever get your hands dirty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not really. I have to kind of remind myself, you know, aside from when I use the restroom, I mean, I have to remind myself to wash my hands like now. Like when I walk into the studio, it's like, oh, yeah, let me use the hand sanitizer. I'm not, it's just not a thing for me. Like, you know, I was also the kid, too, that was outside. You know, we were playing in the dirt hills when we moved into a new development. And so there was always dirt hills and we would climb them and play King of the Hill. And I mean, that's what we did, you know, drank out of our neighbor's garden hose. So no, I've never really been a germaphobe. Not really.
No. Well, and that's I love that. brought back a lot of memories, actually. Yeah, I was always dirty too. I love climbing trees, just getting dirty. I don't know, being out in nature is part of it. But and so kids, Jared, are they at a greater risk from over sanitation than adults?
Absolutely. You know, children and infants and toddlers, you know, their immune system is still being trained, right? It's a maturing immune system, you know, and so that the kind of the continuing exposure of microbes and, you know, viruses and allergens and things basically trains the immune system and you know, hey, should I react to this? Should I not react to this? So, children are much more at risk or a much greater risk than adults. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, so what are some ways? What are some ways for adults to get their hands dirty or get dirty?
I kind of like Junior's suggestion to go play in the mud and you know, and drink out of hoses. You know, there's that. I think again, probiotics do serve a purpose, right? But it's again, not, you know, in my own life, I don't use hand sanitizers. You know, you wash your hands where it makes sense. You know, am I going to go into an airport bathroom and not wash my hands after? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
But am I going to stop to wash my hands 15 times a day because, you know, I have a personal concern about COVID? No, that's not my, not going to be my strategy. So it's, again, you know, using, you know, kind of using your intuition to determine what is the best fit for you.
Yeah, and your common sense, you know? I mean, we can't become a society that's so fear-based. That in itself is very damaging, I think, to your psyche, right?
It is. I mean, again, our family friends, you know, all their kids have hand sanitizers on their backpacks and in their car and on their tables. And, you know, it's, you know, at what point, you know, I think, again, there's just a gross misunderstanding at large of the importance that microbes play in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And how intertwined we are and its impact, you know, their greater impact on our health. So, you know, nobody's saying to, you know, go out and, you know, lick the floors of a public, you know, public place somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
But if you have an opportunity to get dirty, to play in the garden, to, you know, eat a you know, some fresh vegetables or fresh fruits off of trees, you know, without washing them, that's a good place to start, you know.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not think too much of it.
Well, that was going to be my final question is, if we're buying organic, should we even wash our vegetables?
So, you know, organic, I would say, again, it largely depends on where you're getting them from, right? If you are going to a farmer's market and you're buying them from a grower that you have a relationship with, or you know where that food is coming from, and you know their farming practices and they're organic, yeah, that's a potential situation where not washing your fruits and vegetables would be fine, in my opinion. Organic as it, you know, exists in, you know, kind of a supermarket, you know, construct, I don't know that I would, I probably would wash my fruits and vegetables, right? Because, you know, organic is not, it's a system where you are not supposed to do certain things. You're not allowed to do certain things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, the, you know, microbial diversity, that the exposure that you would be looking for is there.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I love talking about this. I do. And you know, I've used your products for years now, Jared, and I'm just glad that you do what you do because you guys do it better than anybody else. I encourage everyone out there listening to check out enviromedica.com and get on board. You've got some great products. The Advanced Care one is, of course, it's new, but it's like my favorite with the bacteriophage and all that we talked about last time you were on. You want to talk about it super quick about why that product is so special?
Well, sure. So, again, the bacteriophages you mentioned, it's our TerraFlora-based formula plus bacteriophages. And bacteriophages, I think we talked about before, they're actually more ubiquitous in nature than even microorganisms, right?
Yeah.
And so they selectively suppress undesirable populations of bacteria, and in this case, E. coli. So it's a good way to, you know, we basically refer to them as probiotic multipliers, right? So they they knock down populations of undesirable bacteria to allow for more resources for beneficial bacteria to thrive.
Yeah, it's a fantastic product. I'm so intuitive with nature, right? And it's always great to have you on. Like I said, Jared, thanks so much for jumping on and getting us educated about dirt today and our microbiome.
Thank you, Bernadette.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. We'll talk to you soon. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on with Laura Day coming up next, turning crisis into positive change. You're listening to One Life Radio.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door? Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
All right. Are you ready, everyone? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I am so honored to have Laura Day with us. She is a practicing intuitive and the New York Times bestselling author of multiple books, including How to Rule the World from Your Couch and Welcome to Your Crisis. She has built a community dedicated to healing and processing collective and individual trauma. Laura has been featured in Newsweek, New York Magazine, The Independent, Bottom Line, Cosmopolitan, Marie Claire, and People magazines. She speaks regularly on both here and abroad and has appeared on numerous shows, including CNN, Fox News, Good Morning America, The View, and The Oprah Winfrey Show. Her website is lauraday.com or on Instagram at lauradayintuit. And it's such an honor to have you with us, Laura. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, you know, right out of the gate, your book captured me. I have been through similar experiences as you, and it's just, I'm about halfway through. I've done some of the homework involved in it, and it is an incredible book. I say it is a tool that everyone out there listening needs to have in their toolbox, and thank you for writing it.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's funny. Being an intuitive course, I'm always in the future. And I wrote this book a good, you know, I don't know, 8 years before the suicide of both my brother and my sister. And it meant so much to me because I actually went back to it myself and said, oh, how did I survive what killed them?
Yeah.
And so it is an especially meaningful process for me, and one I do frequently in my own life. You know, people always think, you know, experts are experts, they've got it down. No, the wounded healer, experts are struggling and they've got to do their own work, and that's mm-hmm. why they put it down, so they remember to do it.
Yeah, well, it's and you know, you've been through a lot, you have. And you've persevered in spite of all of it. And, you know, there was one point when I was reading in the book and there was something that you wrote and I wrote, Viktor Frankl, you know, it reminds me of that. You know, it just does. And here it is. It says the great spiritual leaders throughout history had their beliefs so challenged that their entire beings were transformed. And allowing themselves to be transformed, they created brilliant examples for others to follow. I thought of Viktor Frankl, like I said. The book is just amazing. It is. So let's dig into it. So Welcome to Your Crisis is what what we're discussing today. Everyone out there just now joining us, how to use the power of crisis to create the life that you want. And so, you know, Laura, this is so needed today, right now, than more than ever before, at least in recent history. So how can going through crisis benefit us?
Well, first of all, if you're going to thrive, you have no choice but to benefit from crisis. You have to look for the can-do in the situation. Luckily, even in unfortunate situations, what you have going for you is that your old patterns have been ripped from you. And crisis, it's a neurological state, it's a psychological state, it's a physiological state. And the gift of crisis is that you are freed from your patterns. And that's incredibly painful because we as mammals are made to reject change. Change is always a threat, but also because you are defined by your patterns, even if they're negative ones. How many people do you know who give their heart, body, and soul to an abusive relationship, an unsatisfying job, you know, being stuck as the giver? So crisis shatters that. And as painful as it is, if you can adopt a methodology, and you really do, it is the one time in your life that you can't just go with what it is you're feeling. If you adopt a methodology of success, it will take you to something you could never have dreamed of, because all you can dream of are things in your history. Crisis, breaking those patterns, brings you to unparalleled possibilities.
Mm-hmm. You know, last night I got to the part where I was reading about you losing your mom at 14 years old and how much you missed her. And it happened 2 days after your 14th birthday. I was crying. It was so touching. The words that you wrote, they're so powerful. Just the way you described missing your mother so much, and at a tender age of 14 years old. And you also wrote further in the book about how it took you 5 years to really get to a point where you accepted it or actually realized that your mother was really dead, because you went into a world, not of pretend, I want to say, but kind of, right?
I detached from the reality of my life because it was way too painful. And of course, thank heavens we are structured to have ego defenses. So I went out of the reality of my life and found a different reality, which ultimately became an amazingly profitable career. But I missed, you know, I missed tasting food. I missed feeling the sun on my, in many ways did what I had to do, but wasn't here. When it was time to come back to the world, I came back with an enormous gift.
Yeah, you did. And so, you know, so for someone out there listening that's going through a crisis, what's the first step to turning a crisis into something positive?
Well, there are so many, but number one is don't expect you to be the you were. You know, the first thing we do when we've been beaten up is to beat ourselves up. And that's not functional. There's a number one rule, no new damage. That means the friend that makes you feel like crap, new damage. The thing you're putting in your mouth that's going to make you feel bad, new damage. That second glass of wine, new damage. Beating yourself up, new damage. No new damage. Because one of the real dangers of crisis is that you can miss the opportunity if you continue to re-traumatize yourself. And we do in crisis because we're wide open. You know, our old life was an exoskeleton. It kept things in, it kept things out. When that is broken in crisis, there's nothing keeping stuff in, there's nothing keeping stuff out. So you have to be vigilant to make sure no new damage, even if it's a little tempting, enters your life. That is the number one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the first chapter is titled, Who Are You? What parts make up who we are? So, you know, I went through the exercise. I've got my notes, but it was very difficult, I have to say, to identify, you know, who I am. Who are you? That was difficult for me.
also because that's, I mean, I do these exercises all of the time. It is your personal mythology, who it is you describe yourself as, is the healthy organizing principle of self. And crisis demands that we change that. The most recent crisis for me, and it took years really to get through, was when my son went to college, and it may not seem a crisis to everyone, but I had experienced so much loss in my life, and I was no longer a mother in that old way, and it really took me a couple years to find my feet on who I was now, because the number one factor in thriving and surviving is purpose. And I had no idea what mm-hmm. my purpose was. I wasn't making lunches. I wasn't packing suitcases. I wasn't helping with homework. Why was I eating and breathing? And I think that especially if you've had trauma in your past life, that reorganizing of self is really important. And it starts with, how would I describe myself to somebody else, and working on that statement. And then, is that how I want to be described? You know, I think your personal mythology really does need to change, and often the organizing need in it remains the same, but in a healthier way. There's an exercise in the book called I Packed My Grandmother's Trunk, and some of us from my generation remember that from when we were children. But it's a game where you remember thing after thing that you put in your grandmother's trunk to take mm-hmm. with you. In crisis, you need to make decisions. Is this something that I need to take with me, either an idea of self or certain feelings or ideas about the world or ways I interact or even people in my social group? Do I need to take this with me? Do I want to take this with me? Because the nice thing about being an adult is to a large degree we get to choose. I mean, those who have experienced loss, you don't get to choose mm-hmm. to have that loss restored. But yeah. you do get to choose what you take with you. And because it is your obligation to survive and thrive, that is the primary human obligation, is to survive and thrive no matter how difficult it is. Mm-hmm. You need to make those choices. And it's not always in doing the exercise once. I forget when I published this book. I think it was like 2007 or 2008. I still do the exercises again and again, and they're different. Because the one thing that is assured is change, which, by the way, just for the record, I hate. Yeah. Any kind of change.
Yeah, no, I know. I think most people do. And it's such an incredible book. For all of you out there listening, we are speaking with Laura Day. She is an author, and this is one of her books that we're discussing, Welcome to Your Crisis, How to Use the Power of Crisis to Create the Life You Want. We're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Laura Day. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time?
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We are live from Dallas, Texas, as well as California, KMET, Southern California. We are here with Laura Day. She is a practicing intuitive and the New York Times bestselling author of multiple books, including How to Rule the World from Your Couch and Welcome to Your Crisis. Laura, it's such an honor to have you on the show. You know, so many things I wanna ask you, but let's start with this. So one of the steps in the book is to rewrite our personal mythology. You touched on it earlier. Can you give us an example?
So an example is I was raised by a very ill woman, and my personal mythology was I take care of the world, and I have limitless strength. And then when things fell apart in my own life and I had to respond, my personal mythology had to change. And it was, I am part of an interconnected community. I really had to I asked people in that, if you were your own superhero, who would you be? And I went from being the leader to being the connector.
And of course,
that served me so much better. I had a very smart therapist when I was young who said to me, do you really think you're the only person who can help other people? Maybe it's your choice of friends. And it didn't hit me, of course, until 15 years later. So some people are the person who has it all on the ball, or Mr. or Miss Perfect. And in crisis, we need to look at both who we really are and then what part of that we really want to be. Because a lot of what we are is a function of what other people needed us to be growing up in our young adulthood. And crisis gives us not only the opportunity, but the necessity to say, who is it we want to be? And also, can we be that person? Can we redefine it in a way that's not aggressive, that's not alienating, but that actually creates stronger relationships, community, a connection to self, but with coherence, with integrity?
One of the chapters in your book is your life in crisis. When I did this exercise, I was shocked. You know, I'm like, is your life in crisis? You know, and some of these questions seem like, you know, for example, have you suffered a loss? Are you more irritable lately with people around you? Are you feeling out of place or not yourself? And some I answered yes, some I answered no. But you said in the book that if you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be in crisis. So how do we know if we're in a crisis?
There's the inside way and the outside way. The inside way is everything's going right, but you're not feeling right. The outside way is you're feeling just fine, but things in your life aren't going well. When you're in balance, you actually can juggle. And crisis, what things can go wrong without your being in crisis. By the way, you know this book at this point better than I do. You are amazing. I've never had someone interview me who has such a depth of understanding of their subject. So hats off to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you know you're in crisis when things are going wrong. So I have the three rules. And I know we all love those threes, but I forget my umbrella, not a crisis. I trip on the street and skin my knee, not a crisis. I forget an appointment, okay. Not that those things are crises, but there's something going on that I sure as heck better sit back and pay attention to and say, where is my crisis? Because when things in my outside world go wrong, it's a crisis. Same thing my deceased sister used to say, my life is perfect, I'm the problem. That's also a
I remember reading that. Yeah. The book is just phenomenal. It is. And I feel more powerful. I had begun going through the process and reading it. I feel empowered. And I've had a lot of loss as well. And I went through a very similar circumstance as you did. When I first opened the book, I was like, oh my gosh, it resonated with me so profoundly. I can't even tell you. But I was like, oh my gosh, I feel more powerful just reading simple words like this. You can create your dreams even if you don't know what those dreams are. That's just powerful, reading those words. And other quotes that I read in the book, like, to change the world, you must change yourself first, going into speaking about the law of relativity. It's just a fascinating book. And as I said, I know the music, and there you go, the music is playing. You're going to have to come back, because I want to help people like you do. And I want to completely read the whole book and then come back and just try to share it with people.
I would love to do that. We should do it together and compare our notes.
Okay.
And so the listeners can join in with us.
Yeah. I'm pulling down the curtain. I'm completely transparent. Happy to do it. If it heals somebody else, I'm all for it. Laura,
thank you.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to get back on the air with you again. And everyone, I just ordered 3 copies of the book, and I hope you'll follow. It's amazing. Be sure to check it out. Welcome to your crisis. Everyone, have a fantastic day. And remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. You can persevere.